Begin the current daf, Masechta Baba Basra, daf Kufn and Zayin. Begin 10 lines down for the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues with the halacha of the next Mishnah, continuing on the theme of this parak regarding the laws of a child inheriting from a dying person. Now, the Mishnah talks about a unique case. Nafal ha-bayis olav va'alaviv. If the house collapses on him and on his father. In other words, he had Reuven, and he was in the house, and his father Yaakov was in the house, and the house collapsed, and they both died, and it's not known which one died first. Or a similar case, olav v'almay rishav. It fell on him and on those who bequeathed to him. In other words, on Reuven and on those who he would inherit from. For example, Reuven's brothers or his uncles, his father's Yaakov's brothers, who don't have any other closer relative than this Reuven. And Reuven was the one who was fit to inherit them had they died first and then him. But it's not known who died first. Moreover, v'hesalav, and there was on this Reuven, who is the protagonist of the story, because on him was a ksubas isha ubalchayim. There was a ksuba owed from him to his wife, and or there was a creditor that he owed money to, and he didn't have any other money to pay them up from. So the discussion is as follows. Regarding this case of when the house collapses on him and his father, the yorshei ha'av, those who would inherit the father Yaakov, for example, the other sons of Yaakov, which are Reuben's brothers, Shimon and Levi, or even Chanoich and Falu, who are the sons of Reuben himself, but they would also, now that he's not around, inherit their grandfather Yaakov. So there, Oimrim, they say to the creditor or to the woman collecting Ksuba, Haben Meisrishin, they're saying the son, meaning this Reuven, he's the one who died first. V'achkach Meisav, and then the father Yaakov, he passed away. And therefore, we're coming to inherit from our grandfather, from Yaakov, as the Gemara explains. And that is because Reuven never inherited in these properties at all, because he died before his father died. And therefore, we are totally inheriting the properties of our grandfather Yaakov. Now, that's if it's a case of Nafal HaBayis Olav V'Alaviv. And regarding the case of Olav V'Almay Rishav, so then it would say that the inheritors of the Mayrishim would say that the son died first, and then this uncle or wherever it is, he passed away. And that's what they're claiming. And no one knows anything, but at least the creditors are claiming that no, Ha'av Meis Rishon, the father, Yaakov, he died first. And so therefore, the moment before Reuben passed away, Yaakov was already dead, Reuben inherited, and then Reuben passed away. Oh, if Reuben passed away second, that means he already inherited from his father. Now he had properties when he passed away. We could go ahead and collect from those properties. So what's the halacha? They say that the Yerushei Ha'av and the Yerushei Hames, meaning the creditors and the woman, they would split it with the Yerushei Ha'av. And the Gemara explains the reasoning in Sechtes Yevamos Perek HaChelitz, because although that the inheritors of the father, meaning of the Yaakov, are definite inheritors in this money, and the creditors are only doubtful, yet still, although we generally say Ein Savik Meitzamidei Vada, in this situation, Bishame says that they will be able to, that they will have to split it. The reason that explains the Gemara in Yevamos is because Beishami hold that a shtar oimin ligvais, a document, a deed that is waiting to be collected, like it is by the creditor and by the ksubas isha, it's like it's collected already, and therefore both of them are actually considered definite owners in this possession. Now the question is what ended up happening, so therefore they go ahead and they divide it because we don't know who died first. If the father died first, then they do get. If the son died first, then they don't get. And since we don't know, says Beishami, they divide it. They disagree. They say nechasim mecheskasim, that the possessions are in the chazaka, in the presumptive state of where they were up until now, which means to say it's in the chazaka of those who inherited the father, because they're definite yarshim, either from Yaakov or from Reuven, and therefore they're like muhsakin. And the reason for that is because Yaakov was the one who had the money. The son, as we see, had no money. It's only if he died second that he had something that he inherited. He didn't have anything. So Yaakov is the one who is muhzik in his nechasim. Now, these individuals, meaning whether it be the other sons, Shimon and Levi, or whether it even be his grandchildren, the sons of Reuven, they're coming from his strength. They're coming from what he had a chazakah up until now. The creditor is only a suffix because he doesn't know if this Reuven ever inherited or not. So therefore it says, Basil, the nechasim retained their chazakah by the Yerusha Av, and the suffix of the creditors is not meitzim nevadai of the Yerusha Av. Now the Gemara discusses what relates back to the halacha of our Mishnah, Tanan Hasam. We learned that within the Mishnah later on in Paraged Pashad, the Mishnah says as follows, Hamalve es chaveroi bishtar. If someone lends his friend money in a document, even if the document doesn't say anything about achrayus regarding insuring the loan, but it says that this guy borrowed $100 from this person. So the mission there explains gave him in the chasim mishabadim. So when the lender comes to collect and the borrower says, "I'm sorry, I don't have any money." So he says, "Wait a second. At the time when I lent you money, you had properties. Those properties, even if you later sold it off, they already had a lien on it from the loan that I gave you. And therefore, if the loiver does not have any available properties at the time, the lender could collect from the lekuches, as the Gemara says in Bab Metzia and Perek Shneim Eichs and Daf Yedalad, that according to the Rabbanan, even if there's no insurance for the loan written in the document, it's a mistake of the scribe, and it's as if it was written over then. The reason for that is because a person who's lending money doesn't throw out money for nothing. Rather, he obviously wanted it that there should be a lien on the properties, and it's just that the scribe forgot and he made a mistake. Moreover, generally, since there's a document, the word gets out, and therefore everyone knew that there was a lien from this loan on this guy's properties. And therefore, anyone who bought after that date was causing a loss for themselves because they bought the land from the borrower and they didn't leave over any available land that the lender could collect his loan from. And therefore, that the loan could be collected from the incumbent properties. But let's say it was Ali Day Edim. Let's say there was no document written, so the word doesn't get out. But there were witnesses, then gave him in the chasam and the charin. So then he could collect the loan, but only from available properties that the borrower still has. But if he doesn't have, if he sold everything off, then since it wasn't written in the shtar, then the lender cannot collect from the nechasa mishabad. Now, says the Gemara, Shmuel had the following question. If someone writes to his friend that, regarding this Mishnah that we're quoting, says that there's a debt that I'm owing you, you're lending me money, and I'm creating a lien from that loan on all my properties, the ikni, that I am going to acquire. In other words, that they write in the document, the kenoi ud asra no lemikne. Meaning that based on this halacha that we're saying in this Mishnah regarding the lien that there is from a loan. So Shmuel has the following question. Let's say, generally you assume that the lien is on what he has at that point in time. But let's say the borrower accepts responsibility, not just for what I have acquired now, but even what I'm going to acquire is also going to be mishubit to you, that you'll be able to collect the loan that you're lending me for. And vikana. And then he ultimately ends up buying at a later point in time some properties. Mao, what's the halacha? If lekuches, if consumers come and purchase those properties that the borrower had bought after the document was written, and then they sold it off to these people, what's the halacha? Could the lender now go ahead and collect the loan that's owed to him from those properties that were bought later on? As the Gemara explains, Alibidur Emeir Da'am, according to Emeir that he says, regarding if a person, let's say, tells a woman, you're engaged to me, he gives her a ring, when your husband dies. I mean, right now she's not able to get married, she's an HSS, but I'm giving it to you so that it should take effect when your husband dies, or when your sister dies, who's married to me, who's Achais Ishtai, or after you get engaged, really, you convert, you're really non-Jewish, but I'm giving it to you now, that should take effect after you convert. So Meir says, Adam Makna Davash Leib Alayim. It says a person could create a kinyan on something that's not even around, that's non-existent, like this woman who is not available to get married yet, but it takes effect so that when it happens, it will take effect. Says the Gemara, Loi Tibalach. According to Meir, there's no question whatsoever. Because Devad Leikana, for sure it's going to be a valid acquisition, because since, even if regarding the fruits of a tree, which are not even here yet, still, Ramir says that you could be makna davish label oilam. So for sure, regarding just creating a lien on lands which are somewhere in the world, it's just that the borrower didn't yet purchase them at the time that the shibud happened, for sure it's going to create a shibud, a lien. Because even a kin you could do if it's not around. For sure here, where it is around, and all you need to do is a shibud, for sure the shibud could take effect on what he's ultimately going to end up buying. And therefore, if he ends up buying and then selling it off, that will be meshubud to the lender, and he'll be able to collect his loan from that. But rather, when do you have the question of Shmuel? Is Alibi the Rabban? That's only according to the Rabban. The Amri that they say, Ein Odo Makna Dovash Label Oilam, a person cannot be Makna. You can't sell something that's that's still non-existent, that didn't come into the world yet. According to the Rabbanan, we have a question. And that is, do we say that a Shibud, a lien, is different than acquisition, as we explained before, that it's not like an actual acquisition, it's just a lien? Or, moreover, do we say that maybe the Rabbanan went and strengthened the power of a shibud more than the kinyan, and the reason why they would do that is because we want to have people lend. And if someone doesn't have so much assets, you say, what am I creating a lien on those three bulls you have? What? So if the guy says, and even what I'm going to buy, he says, oh, okay, even what you're going to buy. So conditionally, tindal dels mempne love, that we shouldn't close the door in front of borrowers, so the lenders will be more open to this idea. Maybe that they went and they made the shibud even on the ikni, what he's going to end up buying. Or maybe do you say not? That is Shmuel's question, would pertain according to the opinion of the Rabban. So the Gemara attempts to prove, to answer this question of Shmuel. I'm Rabbi Yosef. He says, Toshma, come in here, let's bring a raya from Mishnah in Perek Shnei Diyani Gezeris from Seth Ksubis, Daf Kuf Yodim and Aleph, that talks about if someone produces a document, a deed, a debt that's owed to him by his friend. Now, the defendant, the debtor, he produces a document that actually the purported lender had sold him a piece of land to himself, who's officially the borrower who owes money, after the date of when the loan document had been written that the lender's producing on him. So that Mishnah brings it, Admin says, the borrower could claim, wait a second, if I really owe you, let's say, $1,000, so you should have collected from me when I gave you the $1,000, and you should not have sold me a piece of land for that same amount of money. If you needed money, why are you selling me land? You could have just collected the debt. That proves that really I didn't owe you that money. That's what Admin says. But as a Gemara quotes, they disagree. They say, no, Zeh, this lender, he actually was smart. Shemacholai, that he actually sold this piece of land to the borrower who owed him this money, that he sold him a sarkarka, the land. Why? Because now he has something of collateral that he could collect because of his debt. In other words, had he not sold him this piece of land, so then the borrower could have told him, he said, you're right, but I don't have anything to pay up. Now, however, that he sold him the piece of land, now it's smart. He got money for that land. Now he'll be able to collect that land because now there's hardcore land that this guy owns that he'll be able to collect his debt with. That's what the Chum disagree with Admon. But one thing says Rabbi Yisrael, what we see from that Mishnah, this land was de'ikni. In other words, this land was sold to the borrower only after the loan document had been written. Only then, at a later point in time, did the borrower end up buying that land. And still we find that the lender could go ahead and collect his debt from that land that the borrower bought at a later point in time. So obviously you see that when you have the ikni v'kani, if someone says, oh, even what I'm going to buy will be indebted to you, and then he buys, that it is mishubah to the malva. As we see, the lender could collect from that land. So amali Rava said to Rabbi Yosef, mino ka'amrit? What, do you bring a proof from the borrower himself, from the land that the borrower himself bought, that it has no lien to anyone else? How could you bring a proof from there? Obviously, the lender could collect from that land, because minei, from himself, afil megliman dal kaspe. The lender could take the shirt off the borrower's back. It doesn't make a difference when he got it, who, whatever it is, anything the borrower has, he owes the lender money, he could take it from him. So of course, if he got a piece of land at a later point in time, which in this case was even that the lender had sold it to him, of course the lender could collect from that. Kika Mibailan says, Rava, when did we have our question of Shmuel? Is the ikni, when he said that I'm being mishabit to you, even when I'm going to buy, and then kana, and then he bought, and then after that, he went, and then he was mishabit to somebody else, either by ummachar, because then he sold it to someone else, what we call alikeach, or the ikni kana v'hayrish, or a case when he says, I'm going to be makna to you, meaning I'm being mishabit to you even when I'm going to buy, and then he buys, and then he dies, and he bequeaths it to Yershin. That was my. That's where we have the question. Do we say that his stipulation that he wrote to the lender, that the ikni is so strong that allows the lender to even collect from lekuches or Yershim after his document was written, which was before this, or not? That was our question. We want to know, is his shibit so strong? Of course he collects from the borrower, so there's no proofs from you what Rav Yosef is trying to bring. The question was, when he then later bought and then sold it to someone else, do we say that shibud is so strong of the lender, and even what he didn't have at that time, to collect from the kuchos or not? So Rav Chana, he says, Tashema, and that's why we brought in this discussion, come and bring a raya from the halacha of our Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Nafla bayis alav al aviv. If the house fell on the protagonist who owed a ksubis isha or bal chayv, and on his father, they were both in the house, which collapsed, and they both died, or alav al merishav, or on him and those who he would inherit from, and he owed, this person owed what he had written to the ksuba for the wife that he divorced, or a creditor. So Yosha Avayimrim, the inheritors of the father, they say, Haben Mesuish and Ma'achim Mesav. No, you creditors, you can't get anything, because the one you collected from never got it. He died first, and then the father passed away. Ubalachaivisam, whereas the creditors, they say that no, Ha'av Meis Rishon Bechulu, the father died first, then the protagonist. So therefore he did have when he died, and therefore we could collect from him. So that's where we have this machlokes Beishame and Besol. But one thing says Rav Chana, Beisol Gedai Techna, if you would entertain to say, the Ikni Kano Umachar, that if the guy says that I'm being Meshabbat to you, what I'm going to buy, and then he buys and he sells it off, or Udi Ikni Kano Bahirish, that what I'm going to buy, and he buys, and then he bequeaths that loy mishtabit. That was a question. Is that mishubit to the lender or not, to this balchayim? So if you would entertain to say that it's not mishubit, so then you have a question. Nihi nami da'av mesperesha, even if you're going to say that the father died first, and then therefore the son did inherit the father for those few minutes, which that all takes a second, that he inherits, and then he died, as the creditors are saying. So they're saying that he did inherit, and therefore we want to collect from his estate. But the problem is, di'iknihu, this is a case of di'ikni, meaning, because the son only acquired it after the document that the debt that he owed this balchayv was written, because he only got it a few moments before he died. And then he bequeathed it to his inheritors. And even so, we see from the Mishnah that the creditors are claiming, which is obviously part of the halacha, that they would collect from that. Obviously, you see that even in the case of the ikni, what I will acquire, I don't even have now at the time of that I'm writing you this debt, this deed that I owe you for the loan. If he ends up acquiring it and then he's meirish it to Yarshim, that it is meshubit to the lender. So that obviously proves that it is meshubit even in the ikni. Amalur Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman said to them that no. Zeira Chavrin Tirgama, our colleague Zeira translated and explained our Mishnah that it wouldn't be a proof. Because mitzvah al yesaimim lefroya chayvas avin, it's talking about the mitzvah that the orphans have to pay back their father's debts, which they inherit from him. In other words, it's not because that the one who died had written to his balchayv, his lender, the ikni, that, oh, even what I'm going to acquire is going to be meshubit you. Because actually, says the Gemara, you could say that regarding ikni kano umachar, it's not mishubit. If you don't have it at the time, it doesn't help that you say, even when I'm going to buy, it should be mishubit. That would not create a shibut. It's only regarding the halacha of our Mishnah of Yerushim, because there's a mitzvah which actually would apply even if you would not write the ikni. There would still be a shibud of the Yerushim to the lender, because there's a mitzvah on the orphans, whatever they inherit from their father, to go ahead and pay up his debts. So that was the discussion with the Baal HaChavis saying, okay, so we're saying that the father died first and then your father, which was the son, and therefore you have a mitzvah lefraya, chayvas avicha, but not because of the ikni, because the ikni itself would not work. Now, but however, the Gemara asks on this interpretation, maskabal Ravashi. Ravashi asks, if that's the case, well then milva alpehu. So then essentially what we have over here is an oral loan, because this is not something that was recorded in a document of the ikni. You're saying it's only based on the rabbinic principle of mitzvah on the yisayim lefraya chayvas avicha. So if that's the case, so the question is, so then why would the creditors be able to collect from the land of the orphans? But Verav Shmuel Darmer Tavayu, they both say, as brought later on, Paragid Pashit, Milva Per, regarding an oral loan, a Negoiva is not collected, Loimen, Yoshev, Loimen, Alkuchais, neither from inheritors, and neither from consumers. And that is because when did we say Mitzvah Al Yisayim Lefrei Chavizavi? And that was only said if it was recorded, it was a loan that was recorded in a document. So the question is, because as Rashbam brings, although actually the Gemara paskins later on, not like Rav and Shmuel, that an oral loan is collected from the Yarshin, and the reason why we do that is so that we shouldn't make lenders not want to lend money. However, but Shmuel himself is the one who's asking the question over here. And therefore then we would have an internal contradiction where he himself says that a milva peh is not goyva from the Yarshin. So then how could you interpret the halacha of our Mishnah to refute the Rai wanted to bring that it's going to create a shibud by saying, no, it doesn't create a shibud. It's only because mitzvah for Yechav Zavin, but this is all in Shmuel's question. And Shmuel is the one who says that an oral law, which is what the mitzvah Ali Yisrael for Yechav Zavin would be qualified as, is not given the Yershin. So then you're back to the question. Seemingly, then it should be a raya from our Mishnah that there is going to be a shibud of the ikni, even though what I'm going to buy. However, as Gittin Tamid Beis says, the Gemara, no. Elohamani, rather, we could qualify the halacha of the Mishnah in a way that it would not be a proof to answer Shmuel's question. Meaning we had attempted a refutation of the proof, which we said, no, that refutation wouldn't work because that would contradict Shmuel's own question. Rather, a way of refuting the proof would be by just saying that Remeir, that the town of our Mishnah is Remeir. The Amid that he says, Ad Makna Davish Label Oilam. Remeir says, as we mentioned before, that a person could be Makna, could go ahead and create a kinyan on something that doesn't even exist yet. And therefore, that's why the halacha of the Mishnah applies, even though he inherited a second before he died, and yet the loan he had done was 5 weeks ago, still it could go ahead and the Shibud could take effect, because Remeir holds, as we said, the question wasn't even in the opinion of Remeir. Of course we said you could create a Shibud, because even the kin you could do that's not around. Our whole question we said of Shmuel was, according to Rabbanan, and therefore still we haven't answered the question, because the Mishnah is not a proof, because it's going like Remeir. Rather, Amr of Yaakov in the Har Pekoid Mishmei Deravin, he says, Tashma, let's bring a raya to answer Shmuel's question from the following Mishnah Masechta Shviyas. Mishnah says, Shtari Chayv HaMukdamin. Documents of debt that are written at an earlier date. In other words, they actually were written on the 15th of Nisan, but in the document it was written as if it was written on the 1st of Nisan. Says the Mishnah, Psulim. So then that document is invalid. The reason for that is because the creditor is going to come to collect from the consumers of those first 15 days of Nisan inappropriately, because the actual loan was only on the 15th of Nisan. And he's going to collect from the previous 15 days, because it's written as if the loan was on the 1st, which means that there's a lien on all his properties. Anyone who bought in the next 15 days, which although really there was no lien, because it was only loaned 15 days later, are going to be collected from inappropriately, and therefore you can't go ahead and use that document. Now, however, if the loan was on the 1st of Nisan in front of witnesses, and actually there was a kinyan to go ahead and create that lien of the properties of the borrower to the lender, it just wasn't written in the document until the 15th of Nisan, and then when the 15th, then they wrote the date the 1st of Nisan, then actually says Rashbam, that halacha would be of such a muktam would be kosher, as the Gemara brings in Paraget Pasha later on the Kofayin Bezim and Aleph, as long as the actual loan with witnesses was then, even though they wrote it later, you could write an earlier date. But what we're talking about is where that they wrote the date that was written in the document before the date when it was actually written, or where if it was written on the 1st of Nisan, and it actually wrote the 1st of Nisan that this guy borrowed from that person. But the problem is, although that's when it was written and that was the date, but he actually didn't borrow from him until the 15th of Nisan, that's also a predated document, which is going to be possible, because you're only allowed to collect from the time when the actual loan happened, not like Abaya, who says in Bab Metzi and Perek Shleim Eichzin, that Eidah Bechazum of Zachan, like that you actually married just with the signing of the witness, is not true, that has to be with the actual loan, and therefore it's going to be possible. But, Vamucharin Kesherin, and that's the halacha that we're bringing the raya from, regarding if it was a post-dated document, then it's going to be kosher. So let's say the loan happened in Nisan, but they didn't get around to writing the document that the loan happened until Tishrei. Or, no, they wrote it on the day that it was loaned, but they wrote a later date in the document and they wrote Tishrei, which that's going to be kosher, because obviously the lender is meichel on the lien up until a later date of Tishrei, and therefore there's no problem for lekuchas, because actually they can even get away with it. They're only going to be collected from that later date of Tishrei. That's what the Mishnah says in Shavuos. Says Rav Yaakov Menar Pekoy, the name of Ravina. Now, if you'd entertain to say, regarding this question that we're discussing, regarding where the guy says, even what I'm going to acquire is indebted to you, and kan, and he does acquire something later on, umacher, and then he sells it off to someone else, or the ikni kan of Bahirish, or he says, even what I'm going to acquire, and he acquires, and then he dies, and he bequeaths it to Yarshin, if you're going to say, loy mishtabed, that it's not going to be indebted, because he didn't have it at the time of the loan, then the question would be, Mulcharin amai kesherin, then why is a post-dated document kosher? When the loan was in Nisan and it was only written in Tishrei, the problem you run into is that maybe the borrower is going to acquire nechasim between Nisan and Tishrei, which, since the document is only written in Tishrei, those nechasim are not mishubid to the lender, because the shibud only starts at the time when the document date was written, which is only in Tishrei. And as we said, if you hold that the ikni, what I'm going to acquire, is not included, so the problem is, the iknihu, this is a halacha of what I'm going to acquire at the time of the loan, because the loan actually happened in Nisan. And then what's going to happen is, since the document date is written only by Tishrei, so whatever he had by Tishrei, the lender is going to say, okay, well, that was there at the time of the loan. I'm going to be tired from. The problem is, it's anyone who bought from the properties the borrower bought from this until Tishrei should not be allowed to be collected from, because only what he had at the time of the loan is Meshubin. But things that are bought later, which is Deikni. So whatever you bought from this into Tishrei, although it was there at the time of the date, so anyone who bought after Tishrei, okay, I'm going to collect from you. No, you can't. That's going to be the problem you're running into. Because whatever he bought from this into Tishrei was not Meshubid. So although at the date of the Tishrei, it was already there, but that's the Ikni. And if you hold the Ikni is like Meshtabid, how could you go ahead and collect from the date of Tishrei? Obviously, says the Gemara, that the Ikni is Meshtabid. And that's why any document of Me'uchar is kosher, because there's no concern that you run into. Whatever's after Tishrei, of course, he could collect from, because even if it was the Ikni, even though he had bought this from Nisan to Tishrei, but anyone that buys after Tishrei, even those properties could be collected from. Tosfos Gemara again says, no, Hamani Remeiri. It's not a raya to Shmuel's question, which is only in the Pinyin Rabbanan, because you could say that Mishnah Shvi is going like Remeir, Dama Adam Makna Davish Lebel Oilim, who says that yes, that a person could be Makna something that's even non existent. That's why Mochar and Akasher, because if he writes in the document any liability, what do they usually write? The Kanoi Uda Asra no Lemikni, whatever I have now, and whatever I will end up buying. And the reason for that is because they don't usually write Achrayis halfway. So there's no concern that you're going to run into. And even if he does not write Achrayis, there's also no concern, because actually, according to Remeir, then you're not going to collect from a Shabbat, as the Gemara explains to Shnayim. Now, Rashbam, however, does point out, however, that yes, if the document only wrote the Kanoi, what I have right now, and does not write the Ikni, and even when I'm going to acquire, yeah, there, of course, Remeir would agree that in such a case, Mukharin would be puzzle, like the question that we had, because maybe he's going to end up collecting Karka from which was purchased by the borrower between the time of the loan and the time of the writing of the document, which anyone who buys from those should not be able to be collected from. It's just that it's not so common to write a halfway achrayis, and that's why the Gemara didn't bother asking on this and saying that if it's like Remeir, that's why the halacha would be mochar and kasherin, because you could be makna and even and for sure be meshabed, which is not yet here, but that wouldn't answer our question regarding the pinyan of the Rabban. So the Gemara continues trying to bring a raya amra meshar shemeshmei the rabbi. It says, Toshima, it's being arrived from Mishnah Masechtas Gittin, that says that one cannot collect for Achilas Peiris, or Shvach Karkois, or Mazen Isha V'Abonis, which are certain rights that people are owed by the debtor. You cannot collect those things from his Nechasim Shabbatim, from properties that he sold off to other consumers. And that's because of Tikkun Olam, because no one's going to want to buy from anyone if a wife's mezainis could always collect, because every person owes his wife. Those types of things that the Mishnah there discusses cannot be collected from the Chasim Shabbatim. And now it's explaining one of those halachas, L'shvach Karkois Ketzad. What is the case of when there's an increase of the value of the land, which we're saying that increase, which is owed by the debtor to that person, cannot be collected from the Chasim Shabbatim. So it explains the Braisa, Harisha Mocher Sadl Chaver Bishbichav. Someone sold a field to his friend, and now the consumer, so excited about his new field, he goes and increases the value of this field. Now the problem is that actually this guy who he bought from was a debtor. He owed a lender money. Now the lender comes to collect. The guy says, I have no money. He says, okay, so whatever from the time I lent you, there was a lien on, which includes that field that guy bought. Now he goes and collects it from that consumer, which was already meshubach, which the consumer already made it better by fertilizing and plowing and planting. So says the Braisa, Keshehu Gaiva, so now when the consumer goes to collect back from the lender, because now the lender owes him what he sold him, it's because his creditor collected from himself. So when he comes to collect from his seller, he's Gaiva Sakarin Menuchas Meshabadim. So the actual price of the field that he paid the seller to, that he could collect even from the incumbent properties, meaning whatever was sold after him to other people, the previous lender collected from him because he was after that lender. But anyone that came after this seller, who he was collecting from that lender, from this buyer, now he could collect from anyone who bought after him. That's regarding the principle of the field itself. But the increase that he did in the field, which is also owed to him because now he lost that unfairly, that could only be collected from available properties that the seller has. Says the Gemara, if you're going to entertain regarding the halacha that we're discussing, regarding if a debtor says, even when I'm going to acquire, and he acquires, and then he sells it off, or he says, when I'm going to buy, and he buys, and he bequeaths, then loy mishtabid, that does not create a lien on that. So then why is the creditor collecting the shvach from the consumer? Where does the creditor have any rights to collect that shvach from the consumer? The problem is, this shvach, the consumer who bought this field, was after the loan of the lender. Only later did he even buy the field, and for sure only later did he go ahead and increase the value of that field. So the problem is, this is considered the ikni at the time of the loan. So obviously you see that the ikni kana and lumachar, that is a shibud, and that's why he could collect from the consumer. Which Gemara again says, no hamani, who is the tana of this brisa, remeir, it's remeir de amar adam makna davash lebel ayim, who he says that, no, yeah, you could go ahead and for sure have a shibud on the ikni, because he said you could even do a kinyan on davash lebel ayim. But again, it doesn't answer the question of Shmuel, which is not resolved in the Gemara regarding the opinion of the Rabbanan, who hold that you cannot be makna davash lebel ayim. What would be the halacha regarding creating a shibud? So now the Gemara continues on an independently related question. So the Gemara says, if you're going to say, which we didn't resolve this question, so if you're going to say the ikni kanu malcha regarding a case where a debtor said that whatever, even what I'm going to acquire is indebted to you, and kana and he acquires umacha, but then he sells off that item, or the ikni kanu b'hairish says whatever I'm going to buy is indebted to you, and he acquires it, and then he dies and he bequeaths it to someone else. If you're going to say loy mishtabed, as we said, these two options, if you can say there's no lien on that because he didn't have it at the time of the loan, so then says the Gemara, so holy mishtabit. So then, obviously, then there is no shibud, and therefore there's no pertinence regarding the question that we want to ask, if it's going to be the last person or the first person that's going to acquire, as the Gemara is going to say, if it were the other way. And the reason why there's no question that pertains is because nobody's going to acquire anything, whether that they're a lender or whatever the situation is, a consumer, because even if you're the first, second, no one's acquiring anything if it wasn't there at the time of the loan. But, says the Gemara, im timtzalei mishtabed, if you're going to say regarding the question that we had from Shmuel, that they could create a shibud, even though it's not here at the time, because he could be mishabed himself, he could create a lien on future things that he's going to buy. So then we have the following question. What's if lava? If this guy borrows money, and he writes to the lender, this case that we discussed, that I'm being mishabed to you all my properties that I have now, and even that I'm going to acquire. But then, the lava, he goes and he borrows from someone else, and he writes the same thing he wrote to the first person, that what I have now and what I'm going to acquire is indebted to you. Then the chazvakana, and only then does he go ahead and acquire new properties, new possessions. And then he sells it off, or he dies and he bequeaths it to his inheritors. Now these two creditors come to collect from his properties. That is the Gemara's question. Mahu, what would the halacha be in that case? Who would be the one that would get it? As the Gemara explains, do we say lekama mishtabed? The first lender is the one that it's mishubed to, meaning what he ultimately ended up buying and then sold off, which again on this side of the question that we're saying that it's mishtabed because he was the first one that it was written off to. He was the first one that it leaned to. Oy, labasa mishtabed. Oh, would we say that? No. Actually, it's going to be mishubed, what he ultimately ended up buying, that he said I'm being mishabed, to the second one that he borrowed from. And the reason for that is because it's not so strong for this shibud to take effect, to be typhus. Yes, it could take effect, and we're going on that side of the question. But when does it take effect, says this side of the question? Only when the nechasim actually are become existent, meaning when he ends up buying those nechasim at a later point in time. Now, however, at that point in time, he had already changed his mind, so to speak. He had already retracted from saying that whatever I'm going to buy is mishubet to the first person, because when he borrowed from the second person a few weeks later, he says, no, you're the one that's going to get it all. So maybe would we say the second one would get the shibud because it was already him that now took the place. He's the king of the hill now. By the time he ended up buying it, which is only then that the shibud takes effect. So Omer of Nachman, he says, Hamilsa Ibailan, this was a question that we had. The Sholchu Mitam, and they sent from there, from Eretz Yisrael, to here to Babel, that Rishon Kana, the first one who he said that I'm going to be Meshabbat to you, even when I'm going to end up buying, that already sealed whatever he's going to buy is already Meshabbat to the first one. The second one that is Meshabbat is only after the first one. The first one is one who gets whatever he ends up buying for his lien, and then only afterwards would the second one get. But Rav Huna, he disagrees, he says, Yachleiku. No, they actually divide it. Now, the way they divided, they don't divide a 50-50, but rather, as Rashbam explains, they divide it proportionately to the money that's owed to them. Now, the reason for Rav Huna's opinion is because, actually, the shibud takes effect at the same time for both of them. The reason is because it's only after both of their loans that the borrower ends up acquiring these nechasim, and it's at that time that he buys it that the shibud to both of them takes effect. And therefore, since neither one of them are really before or after the other one, they're both taking effect when he buys it, therefore the shibud happens equally to both of them, and then proportionately they divide the properties that he ends up buying. V'chein tani rabba b'avua, yachliku soti hitor b'raisa, that tells us, yachliku, that it's divided between the two of them. Now, Amar Avin, he actually says, madura kamad ravashi amalon, rishon kana. The first version of Ravashi told us that it was the first bal chayv, the first lender who acquires what he ends up buying. But Madura Basad Ravashi, but the second version of Ravashi, meaning the second time he reviewed the Talmud, which is as Rashbam brings from the Chuvas Rav Hai and the Pirush of the Rabbein Chananel, that Ravashi was 60 years the head of the diaspora. And every year he would review his learning two times a year in the what's called the Drushas of the Kala, which are in the month of Nisan and the Tishrei when we have the big Yom Tov. When it reached 30 years is when he finished all his learning. And then he did a second time, his last 30 years. So the first time he reviewed his learning after the first 30 years, then he said, oh, okay, goes to the first one. But the second time around, which was his last 30 years, then Amalan Yachluku, then he told us that it should be divided between the two lenders. Says the Gemara, B'Hilchos Yachluku, and Halacha is that it gets divided between the two lenders. Now, however, Meisibe, on this Halacha, the Gemara asks from the following Braisa, which we mentioned before. The Braisa says, L'shvach Kakar is Ketzah. What is the Halacha of the increase of a piece of land, which regarding the collection of a creditor who collected from that person, which that consumer, which then he wants to go ahead and collect it back from the one who sold it to him, says the price. Someone sold a field to his friend, and the consumer went and increased the value of that field. Then the creditor of the seller, who is a lender, and the seller says, I have nothing to pay you back. All his lands had a shibud, so therefore the lender goes and collects that field from the consumer. Says the price, when the consumer goes to now go get his money back from the one who sold it to him, who was the one who defaulted on his loan to that lender, so the principal of the field itself that he paid to the seller, that he could collect from even the seller's incumbent properties. But what he increased the value, which that was a new loss, that was not recorded in the document, that's what we're saying, but that regarding Shvach Karkais, Kate said that cannot be collected from the Chasim Mishabadim, that could only be collected from available properties that the seller himself has. On that, as the Gemara, Vim Isa, now if the halacha would be true as we concluded, that we say that the two creditors, they split the money from the borrower, which he ends up buying at a later future time, so then Chatzi Shvach mi Boile, so in actuality, the consumer should not be collecting all of the Shvach from the seller, rather only half the Shvach. The reason for this is because since the borrower sold this field with insurance to the consumer. Now, at only later on, was the lekeach, mashbiach, made the value of the field more. So it comes out, essentially, in principle, the original lender, who we call the bachayev, who is tired from this lekeach, and the lekeach, both of them are creditors, they're both bali chayev of this borrower. Now, it comes out that this shvach, which was an increase of the value of the field, was only bought by the borrower after the shibud to both of them took effect. Because the moment that he sold it to this guy, and the moment that he borrowed money from that first guy, that point is when he became a shibud to them. Now, the problem is that, so for the lender, it was for the money that he borrowed. For lekech, was for the money that he paid to purchase the field. And only later on, but did he get, which the Rishonim discuss this, how that works in principle, but on some level is that he really owns the field, and therefore the Shvach too, and it's only like the Lekech is like some type of a creditor to the seller. And the reason for this is because this increase, as Rabbeinu Gershom says, this increase that the Lekech was Mashbiach, the field, is almost like the seller was mashbiach it, and like as if he's selling it to the lekeach. So essentially, this is like a case of ikni u'macher, that he's selling, that he's saying, I'm making a shiba to you, both of you, for what I'm going to buy, and then he sells it off. Now, the lekeach himself is like a lender, because he wrote to him the ikni, that I'm being mashabit to you, even when I'm going to buy. And to the lender, he also wrote the ikni. Now, this shvach, that he was mashbiach, is like something that he then sold off to the lekech. So there, the Gemara's question is, so if you say, like we're saying, that it's yachleku, so why is it that the Baal Chayv could collect the entire shvach from the consumer who then goes and collects that entire loss from the seller? Only half of the shvach should the Baal Chayv have collected from the consumer. And the lekech, who, as we're explaining, is like a lender, he should have held on to the other half of the shvach. And therefore, it's only the other half which the Baal Chayv took from him, that's what he should have collected from the lender and not more. So why are we saying that he collects the whole shvach from the seller? He should only be collecting half, because that half he actually held on to, and the Baal Chayv who took from him only gets half, because we're saying that these two, as we're learning in the principle, in the, what's called the lamdas, are both Baal Chayvis of this guy, who he / borrower and half seller, but he owes both of them, and they're both coming to collect from him. And that is, ish the halacha should be, as we said, that they split the shvach, which is like the halacha of lava, v'lava, and then v'chazer v'kana. So therefore, the lender should only be paying him half the shvach, not like as the Braisa quotes it, that he collects the whole shvach from him. The Gemara answers, my goyben, I'm a diktani, you're right. What does it mean in the Braisa that when we're deciding what could be collected from the Chasim Shabbatim, which is only the principal, and the shvach cannot be, that's collected from the Chasim Necharim, when it says that he collects the shvach from the Chasim Necharim, meaning from the seller himself, that means chatzi shvach. And that only refers to half the shvach, because yes, based on what we explained, he already has half the shvach, because he's half, and the lender was half, and we said that they both split it, because it happens at the same time when this seller / borrower ended up buying these new stuff, which was the ikni, which we said is split amongst both of them, so he already had half, and the Baal Chayv only took the other half. It's that half that he lost, which the seller took responsibility for the whole thing. That half is what he collects from him, but you're right, half already has, and he's only kaina half of the shvach from the chasam lechayrin of his seller.